Tom is the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Follow him on Twitter and tell everybody again about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, we are Consumer Guide Automotive. All of our new car, all of our used car reviews, and a lot of other good useful information are at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with the news and go a little more in-depth on some other stuff at the CG Daily Drive blog. But that's what we are right now. We are those two websites.
Okay, great. And so do you guys still, do you publish anything? You do a special a print guide, don't you, sometimes?
We do, yeah. We used to be monthly, and that died like so many print things. But we do an annual Best Buy edition.
Right, right.
And that'll be hitting newsstands right around November 1st.
Oh, good. So it's coming up.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. We'll have to definitely talk about that on your next visit, because you'll be here in October. It'll be right before it comes out.
That'll be perfect. Cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. So what do you – okay, I always like to ask you, I always like to kick off the segment. What are you driving now, Tom?
Oh, it's perfect that you asked today. I am driving the 2016 Nissan Titan XD, which is a mammoth pickup. Nissan sort of got back into the pickup game this year, and I'm driving a vehicle that's sort of a tweener. It's between light-duty and heavy-duty, and it is huge. And right now it's in the street. I still have to call the police and let them know that it's out in the street. I can't get in my driveway.
It's that big?
It's that big, yeah.
Oh, man. So what's it like to drive something that monstrous?
You get used to it pretty quick. It's about the size of a regular pickup, but it's beefier. It's lifted up off the ground. It's longer because it's a long bed with a quad cab. So if you've driven a pickup, you're used to it, but it's big. Parking at the health club tonight was a little rough.
Well, do you feel empowered when you're behind the wheel of a vehicle like that? Do you just like, get out of my way?
The best thing is, because I drive from near the city out to here to Palatine, is in traffic, I can see over everything. And then that gets rid of all the claustrophobia.
Now, do you drive you test cars out constantly all year long? Is it a little jarring? Like, now you've got this giant car. What if you get a compact next? Is it going to be, how long does it take you to get used to being comfortable behind the wheel of something that's so different?
Not too long. What can be jarring, I think, is I will drive something that's relatively quick or relatively good handling, and I'll have this mild sense of superiority, and then I'll forget that I've just moved into something much slower and much less expensive.
Yeah.
It's just funny, because I'm like, oh, yeah, there's nothing to be smug about at the moment.
Well, that's great. And are you enjoying driving it? Is it a good car?
I don't like the XD especially much, but it was weird that they launched with that, because the Titan Light Duty is actually being revealed right now. I'm actually going to drive one of those tomorrow. And that's the vehicle that matters. That's the one that goes head-to-head with the Chevy Silverado and the Ford F-150 and the Ram 1500. So that's the one I'm looking forward to testing. This is a big truck. It's for people who tow. And it's going to be a very small amount of what they sell.
Okay. All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the five best times to buy a new car. I know a lot of people are probably wondering when that is, and we're getting to the point where it might be a good time to buy, correct, Tom?
Cool, yes, it is, actually.
Okay, all right, hang on a second. That's Tom Appel of Consumer Guide Automotive, and we are talking about anything car and automotive related. Send your texts, your questions, Tom will answer them. 312-981-7200, you're looking to buy a new car or a used car or just an automotive question in general. Again, text or call 312-981-7200. Well, hello. Hi. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we'll have some of the winners of the 48-hour film festival joining us live in studio, along with Chicago producer Jerry Valisatos. That's coming up. And because of the debate last night, we're going to discuss and rank and have some fun with some of the best political sketches in the history of Saturday Night Live, because this Saturday is the premiere episode of the 42nd season, and it should be a good one. I mean, they were given a lot of material last night during the debate, and so we're going to talk about some of the best political moments and political sketches in SNL history. But right now we're talking cars. 312-981-7200 if you have any automotive-related question. Tom Appel is with us. He's from the Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check him out on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And he's here to answer any and all of your car questions. And we're going to talk about some car news as well. 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, sir. So I have this piece in front of me.
Yeah.
The five best times to buy a new car. I know you're familiar with this.
Yep.
And do you agree with this list of the five best times? And let's talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, they had mentioned model changeovers.
Right.
The end of the model year, year end, redesigns, and last year of production. And those are, all reasonably good markers. There's a whole bunch of other factors that come into play. But one of the strongest is end of year, just because nothing happens towards the end of December. No one buys cars. So things are very slow,
mm-hmm.
and you could usually just get a good deal because people are anxious to get something to happen in a dealership. Right now is a strange time because no rules apply. We're in the middle of the model changeover. There's a short supply of some vehicles. There's a big supply of other vehicles. So it's hard to say anything that applies just sort of over everything. I was just talking to a friend today who went out shopping for a crossover over the past weekend, and she found that there were no Toyota RAV4s out there, no Hyundai Santa Fe Sports, but lots of Mazda CX-5s. Those are all cars that people roughly cross-shop, but right now you're probably not going to get a good deal in any car that's in short supply. So it's a weird time right now, but we are coming up on the end of the month, and that's a very real situation. Most car salespeople are paid monthly and do have goals and quotas that are set for the end of the year and will usually give up a little bit of profit in exchange for hitting their goals where there's additional profit available. So a lot of these things that you've heard, basically true.
Explain what model changeover is for people who might not know.
Yeah, it used to be more traditional that around September the year would change and we'd see like the 2017s coming out. And that happens more throughout the year now. It's not as defined
right.
as it used to be.
Right.
I mean, when I was a kid, people still put paper up in the dealership window so you wouldn't see the new models. That's long gone. That doesn't happen anymore. But there is still roughly an August, September, kind of October model year changeover. And if manufacturers are looking to get rid of a car that wasn't selling that well, you can get tremendous deals. And this is still a great time to check the Sunday paper just to see what's being advertised. Maybe go online. If you start looking for cars, the ads will find you. As we all know, it's a little creepy. but yeah, you can usually get a feel for what's available and what there's a good deal on.
What about how do people keep up on model redesign?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And the easiest way to do that is you can check a site like Consumer Guide. We usually know, we'll know if something's going to change in the next year or two, and we'll mention that right in the review. That's a good way to do it. Another place to do is a lot of the buff books, Car and Driver, Road and Track, actually do model previews where they'll talk about what's coming in the future that's worth waiting for.
Does a model redesign happen often?
The way it works now is you tend to have a car out for 5 or 6 years. And at the beginning, there's a full redesign. And then 2 or 3 years in, there's what's called a freshening. It's usually a pretty heavy-duty situation where they'll add some content, redo the front and rear end, and maybe upgrade the interior. And that'll hold over till the next redesign. That's generally the cycle now for a vehicle that sells fairly well.
Okay. And what about last year of models production? When do you know about that? When do people find out about that? And what are some of the this year's last models?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a vehicle that's being discontinued right now. But for vehicles that are being phased out, sometimes you can get a great deal. Often you want to think hard about doing that because the resale value of that vehicle might be lower. So if you like to get out of a vehicle in 3 or 4 years, buying a vehicle at the end of its run might not be a great idea.
Okay. It says here, by the way, that the Dodge Dart, the 2016 Dodge Dart and the Chrysler 200 are two.
Yeah, both of those vehicles are being phased out right now. There's a lot of incentives on the hood of those. There's a lot of them in inventory. You can get a good deal in those vehicles. The resale value will be diminished. If you hold on to a car for a long time, those are good ways to go.
And the year-end sales are but that's, as you mentioned before, that's kind of the big thing, right?
Yeah, and that's any time a manufacturer looks to close out warranty of the previous model year, inventory, if they have inventory.
Okay. And for people who are bargain hunters, do you have any advice for where to find? Is there some pattern that they can follow or something that they can do to find the best bargains?
Yeah, you know what's happening right now? There was a massive shift this year away from sedans, especially midsize sedans, into small and midsize crossovers. Sedan sales are off 30% right now. If you're looking for a deal, and if you're not insisting on going into a crossover, most mid-sized sedans are a bargain right now.
Is it?
They're cutting deals.
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, it's just the way that it's just the way that the pattern is going. We've been shifting away for a long time, but yeah, this was a sudden big surge in that direction.
Okay. All right. Let's answer a quick question here before we break for the news. And here is, and by the way, any questions, text or talk, 312-981-7200. Here's Christian on WGN. Hi, Christian.
Hi, how are you?
All right, good. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is I'm looking for a new car, but I'm on the side between Volkswagen T1, a Mitsubishi Outlander, and a Civic. I want to know which one is my best bet. I want to avoid expensive repairs in the future, so that's what I was going for, a Japanese car. But then they told me that there's something wrong with the transmission, so I kind of hang on to it.
So you're talking Volkswagen T1, Civic, or the Outlander. That's Tom, those are the ones. What do you think?
Okay.
Well, probably the Outlander Sport, because that's the smaller of the two Mitsubishis and closer in size to the Tiguan. Of those two, I vastly prefer the Volkswagen. Volkswagen Tiguan, a little bit expensive when you get the all-wheel drive and an upper trim level, but a very nice car to drive. If you think Volkswagen Golf, but higher off the ground, a little more space inside, that's kind of the car. Great car. The Mitsubishi Outlander Sport, it's got a CVT transmission, a little bit loud, a little bit buzzy, good fuel economy, good use of space, but not very refined. Honda Civic is an entirely different vehicle. That's a compact sedan. Always love the Civic. It's a great car, if that's what you want to do. It's not available with all-wheel drive like the other two vehicles.
Okay. All right, Christian.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. There you go. Tom Appel helping people out. That's what we do here. 312-981-7200. You ever have a Civic, Tom?
Have I ever had a Civic? My wife has had a Civic CRX, which was the old little two-seater. And that served her very well for about 100,000 miles. So, yeah, it was mine because we were married.
Right.
I had some claim to it.
When I was dating my second ex-wife, she had a Civic, and it was a great car.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who's had a Civic and looked back and regretted it.
Okay. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and text. If you have any questions for Tom related to automotive stuff or cars, you're looking to buy a car, Tom will help you out. 312-981-7200. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and he will answer any and all of your automotive questions. We're also going to be talking about some of the daily drive stuff the blog that he writes for. He wrote a thing about the dead cat bounce, and it's a car term, the dead cat bounce. We'll explain what that is coming up. And 312-981-7200 for your two for Tuesday and your car questions. Now the news is next. Yay. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5 a.m. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. That's also text. You can text your 2 for Tuesday requests to that number, and you can also text or call your car and automotive questions to 312-981-7200. Our guest is Tom Appel. He joins us monthly. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. And we'll talk about some of the stuff that he wrote for that blog coming up a little bit later on. We got some more car news stories and answering your questions. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Again, 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in, people calling in, and we'll get to you guys in just a couple of seconds. And here is Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome back.
Hey.
So I was just reading about this movie, this documentary called Live Another Day.
Yes.
Which is about the automotive bailout. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, and it is currently not playing anywhere around Chicago, which is kind of bumming me out. So I'm going to have to wait for Netflix or a Blu-ray release. But I've heard good things. I've heard that it's fairly critical of both the unions and the manufacturers, and that it's fairly balanced. And it's a fascinating story if it's well told.
And what story they're actually covering in this?
Yeah, it's specifically about the bailout of General Motors and Chrysler. Ford, of course, did not require a bailout or reorganization. They had pocketed a bunch of cash in advance of the disaster. But General Motors, of course, required federal money. Chrysler was forced into a relationship with Fiat, which was all very interesting. And this is about how that all worked out.
And the documentary, for those people who are interested, is called Live Another Day. And in the piece that I read, smartly mentions The Big Short, Because, like, when you hear, oh, this is a movie about an automotive bailout, you think, well, how entertaining is this going to be? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
But the fact that The Big Short was about, you know, the housing industry, which is even less interesting, in my opinion, than the car industry, they point that out. And Big Short turned out to be so incredibly entertaining and informative and well done that it is getting favorably compared to this movie.
Yeah, which is a really good sign. I know a couple of people who have seen the movie, and they recommend it heartily.
Okay. And it's called Live Another Day, and you should check that out. It sounds pretty interesting. But it's really that was unbelievable when that happened in 08-09.
It was crazy. And what was crazy about it, too, is that Chrysler, to some extent, but General Motors, to a major extent, was in the midst of just a complete overhaul of its product line, and everything looked really promising, and it just got cut short right there in the middle, and it was just months away, months of healthy economy away from being very healthy, and it just didn't happen.
That recession, Tom, how much did it affect the car industry, and, you know, has it fully recovered?
I would say that the industry has completely recovered only in the last couple of years, but it was brutal. The 2008 sales in the industry were somewhere around 17 million units, and they slipped to right around 8 million the next year.
Wow.
Absolute decimation of the industry.
Wow. Well, it's nice to see that it's back, though.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got some texts coming in, okay, Tom?
Okay.
262 area code says, I'm interested in leasing a car. However, I'm not sure if it is the best for me. Would you explain the pros and cons? And also, why do they want you to put so much down if you're not buying?
Yeah, the money down up front is just to make sure. It's almost like earnest money. It's to make sure that you're serious about leasing the vehicle, and so that they have some equity in the product before you walk away. It's a down payment like any other. It's to make sure that you're committed to the project. The advantages of leasing, though, that's still less money than putting 20% down on a loan. Is one thing, and your payments are much lower. The downside that people always mention is that you don't accrue any value in the vehicle. So when you're done with the lease, you have nothing. Whereas when you're done with your car payments, you have some equity in the car that you can use for a trade-in. But, of course, you could have been pocketing money that you had saved in payments on the lease and accrued some money that way. So it's kind of a wash. Unfortunately, there's no way to say definitively if someone should lease or buy without looking at their finances and looking at the lease deal you're looking at. You kind of have to do a little math on your own.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously specific to your finances.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And to your tax situation, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever leased?
I never have. And in Illinois, it hasn't been a good-looking thing until this year anyway. When the tax laws changed January 1st, it is now much more favorable to lease in Illinois than it had previously been.
Okay. All right. We got a call here from Chris on WGN. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right, buddy.
Hey, Tom. I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'm making payments on a 2004 Hyundai Santa Fe. In the last year and a half, I've replaced the gas tank that rusted out, the oil pan that's rusted out, and now the switch by the driver's side that opens up the gas tank is rusting. Are those signs that this thing was sitting in water somewhere and I bought a lemon?
Those are not definitive signs of that, but they certainly seem like they could be. The water to damage an oil pan or a gas tank would have to have gone inside because, of course, those things are technically outside the vehicle on the bottom and exposed to elements all the time. So for those to rust, water had to be inside where there isn't that kind of corrosion protection. So, yes, possibly this was a flood-damaged car. That would explain why those things that don't normally rust would rust.
Mm. Because someone had told me that they very rarely ever hear of a gas tank rusting and an oil pan rusting out. And when I brought it to the dealer, they're like, oh, yeah, this happens. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I'm 50-something years old, and I've never had a car with a gas tank and an oil pan that rusted out.
Mm. Yeah, that's really not common.
Right. Okay. Well, good luck, Chris.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Take care. Wow. Do these the Carfax things, do those and services like that, are do those things help out? Can you find out information about those cars like that?
Yeah, you can. I have no relationship with Carfax whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Just want to say that up front. And Carfax does an absolutely excellent job of protecting against flood damage. One of the things that they do is watch for flood titles that have been reconditioned or moved to another state. And they generally are really good at identifying those things.
Okay. 708 area code sends in a text that says, what do you know about the 2017 Chevrolet Bolt EV? When will it be available, and will there be rebates with purchase?
Wow, lots of good questions. The Bolt EV is super exciting. Chevrolet just announced that the real mileage was not going to be 200 miles, but 238 miles of range on a full charge.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a very exciting vehicle. It's sort of Detroit's first Tesla competitor. The vehicle is going to start at $37,495, with the federal tax credit, if you apply or if you qualify, it's $29,995. That's why the weird price. So it comes in right under $30,000 with the federal tax credit. I do not expect that there will be any rebates on this vehicle at first. I think there's going to be a fairly decent line of people waiting to get one. So I think at first you're not going to see anything like a rebate or incentive from the manufacturer.
And again, when we're looking forward to see this being available?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, we should see it by the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So that soon.
Yeah, I may be driving one this week. So.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds like a great car.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's kind of a high hatchback. It's good looking, practical, and the price is really close to where people needed to be for that kind of car.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Appel is with us. Harold, how about this? So we got to talk a little bit about James Bond's cars.
Yeah.
They seem to be changing their image, the Aston Martin. Let's talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, Aston Martin's been kind of a slump for a long time, technically building just two cars, a small sports car and then a series of larger GT cars, but all two or four-seaters, but really primarily two-seaters, and the cars that we've been seeing James Bond drive. They do sell a small sedan. It's actually a big sedan with no space inside at all, called the Rapide, but it doesn't sell well in the U.S. If Aston Martin is going to succeed and survive in any market, including the U.S., they're going to have to eventually just live with the fact that they've got to bring in a crossover. Additionally, they need a sedan. So these things are on the way for Aston Martin. We're going to see them soon. But the crossover is tentatively called the DBX. It should be a mid-sized crossover. It'll be packed full of Aston Martin V12, so it should be an interesting vehicle. They also need a large sedan. They may bring back something called the Lagonda, which was an old bodybuilder that Aston Martin used to work with, or a larger, more livable version of the Rapide. But either way, Aston Martin can't make it on these small sports cars alone, so they have to do something soon, and those cars are in the works.
What do you think an SUV from the Aston Martin is going to look like?
Probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Aston Martin's got the cars are really nice looking, really strong lines, really bulged out flared fenders, and I think that could work very well on a midsize SUV.
Do you think James Bond will be driving an SUV at some point?
Oh man, probably. I could smell that licensing deal from here.
Yeah, he'd be driving an Aston Martin SUV drinking a Heineken.
Exactly.
You remember when people got so mad when like he ordered a Heineken instead of a martini, like they were doing.
I do remember that.
Yeah, they got very, very, very upset about that.
That was the marketing for Skyfall, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Skyfall. Yeah, and it was one of those deals where it was like, "Hey, man, James Bond drinks martinis, not beer." Take it easy. He's a fictional character.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go to a phone call. Here's Al on WGN. Hi, Al.
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
My thought on the Jeep Renegade. My wife and I are looking to buy one.
Jeep Renegade.
Well, the Renegade is Jeep's new subcompact crossover. It's based on a Fiat design, so it's part of their relationship with Fiat Chrysler. Very nice little truck, actually. Consumer Guide has considered making it a best buy in the past. Lots of space inside. It's kind of funky looking. It kind of breaks with the Jeep tradition. It's actually roomier inside than the midsize Cherokee. I like the vehicle. My wife and I have considered purchasing one. We didn't go that route. But I think the things to watch for if you were to buy one are power delivery. The 1.4-liter turbocharged engine could be a little weak down low, especially in an all-wheel drive vehicle. Price. If you add a lot of options, this thing can get very expensive in a hurry. Mm.
Okay, Al?
It's just money my kids wouldn't get in their will.
All right, Al. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. On that note, I think we're going to take a break. All right. Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Follow him on Twitter, car_guy_Tom, and we'll answer more of your questions and talk more car-related news coming up right after we take this break on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we will be talking with Jerry Vassalatos, who is the Chicago producer of the 48-Hour Film Festival. And we have some winners from the competition who are going to be joining us live in studio. And we'll talk all about it and hear from those filmmakers who made movies in 48 hours from creation to final product. And the awards were handed out, and we've got some winners coming in. And then after that, we're going to be talking about the best political sketches and the best political sketches and moments in SNL history in honor of the debate last night, which is probably going to fuel the cold open for this weekend's premiere of Saturday Night Live. So we'll talk great politics and political moments on SNL. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And if you want to get your Two for Tuesday request in. But Tom Appel is here, Consumer Guide Automotive, and we're talking cars. And we welcome Tom back. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
All right. Here is Florence with a question. Hi, Florence.
Yes, I have a Mercury Grand Marquis. To get it in the skinny garage, I have to fold one of the side view mirrors. I'm interested in a Malibu. Will I fit that thing in my garage?
Well, I have two good pieces of information for you. The Malibu is narrower than your Grand Marquis, so that's going to help. But yeah, both mirrors will fold in, so that they'll tidy up right against the car.
Okay.
Okie doke. Thank you.
All right, Florence. Take care. All right. Well, how often do cars not fit in garages, Tom?
Not much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a Grand Marquis, which was an especially wide car. That's been discontinued. But that's the same as the Crown Vic, the police car that we used to see everywhere.
Yes. I love the Crown Vic.
I do, too.
I love that car. All right. Here's, 773 area code. And we also got a couple of calls on this. This seems to be a popular question, Tom, this
okay.
morning from texters and callers. How about Honda Accord SE 2017?
The Honda Accord, I'm sorry, what?
The Honda Accord SE.
Oh, SE, okay.
Yeah.
For 2017.
For 2017.
Honda's not changed the Accord much for 2017, so if you like the 16 or the 17, I would go ahead and go with that. The big news is that the hybrid is back for the Accord. My favorite Accord is the Sport, which is sort of a specially trimmed base model. It's quite a deal at around $24,000. Yeah, but I like the Accord. It's a great car for big guys, too.
Okay, there you go. 773 area code says, why is it that you can only buy a brand new car at a dealership and not on an open market?
That is a fantastic question.
That's a great question.
And it is at the core of the Tesla versus everybody argument, because Tesla wants to do factory direct sales in every state. The states have been fighting Tesla on this. But franchise law is incredibly powerful in all 50 states. There are very specific franchise laws set up, and it is illegal for manufacturers to deal directly with the public. They must sell through a franchise dealership.
Wow.
That's just the way the situation is. If that'll ever change, I don't know. But right now, if you want a car someplace, it still has to be delivered through a dealer. That's just the way the laws work right now.
And that's everywhere in the country?
That is everywhere.
Okay. 773 area code. Well, here's a question, Tom, that you can answer.
All right.
What is a moderately priced city-used vehicle suitable for a husky guy who is 6 feet tall, 300 pounds?
Wow, that is the perfect question. If a good car for the city is the Kia Soul, that's their boxy hamster car that we used to see in the commercials. That is an incredibly space efficient car, and it's perfect for the city. As I mentioned, I like the Honda Accord. It has very big doors and lots of front seat space. The Dodge Charger is a good one. That's a full size rear drive car or all wheel drive car. Those are good. Most midsize crossovers are excellent. They work just fine. And a lot of compact crossovers work pretty well, but you have to test those to just see if you can get yourself in them.
Right, and that's always something you're a big guy, Tom, and that's always something that you're concerned with when you are test driving these vehicles.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this year we started giving big and tall ratings to all our vehicles that we review. So if you check out one of our reviews on the Daily Drive blog with the report card, one of the things that we have is an A, B, C, D, or F rating for big and for tall.
Oh, okay, that's helpful.
Yeah, because we got a guy on staff who's 6'6", so he can cover the other side of that.
Okay. All right. Consumer Guide, by the way, consumerguide.com. Consumerguide.com is where you can get that information. You can also check out the Daily Drive blog. One of the things that you wrote on the blog has to do with the dead cat bounce.
Yeah.
Which I want you to explain, and I think it kind of ties in with this text that we got from a listener in the 606 area code, Tom.
Yeah.
The text real quick is, don't you feel we need a quote-unquote people's car, a car that anyone could afford to buy? And that kind of fits in with what this piece is about.
That's funny, because I once wrote a piece called What Would Lenin Drive? And it was it was sort of like, what would a single people's car be like? Yeah, but back in 2008, there were no $10,000 cars. There weren't. Every car had gotten more expensive. And then in 2009, suddenly two appeared. And I liken this to a dead cat bounce, which is something that's often used to describe stock market events, where a stock that's about to die suddenly picks up a little bit at the last minute, where some hopeful people think it might go up, and a lot of other speculators get rich on their silly speculation. But this is what happened in 2009, where two cars, for whatever reason, manufacturers decided they wanted to sell cars that were $99.95. One was the Nissan Versa sedan in a very special 1.6 version, what was called 1.6 base, and the other was a Hyundai Accent. Now, these cars came in at $99.95, but not including destination. So there was a $695 add to both of them.
Mm.
But these cars were interesting because I'm not entirely sure any of them were ever sold. They were manual transmission only. You couldn't get air, and you couldn't get radios.
What?
There was no radio.
So no air conditioning, no radio.
No radio, no automatic transmission.
No automatic transmission.
Yeah, it was, and you could add no options to these base models. That came just one way. And I'm pretty sure that virtually none of these things were sold. But they ended up they were on order forms. You could get them for 2 years. Whether or not they ever actually found their way into the hands of people, I don't know.
That's crazy. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you can read all about it at the Daily Drive blog at consumerguide.com, along with sporty compacts of 1970, Mercuries of 1977, and the luxury standards of 1970. Do you just look through the old guides and, you know, just pick the years for the stuff that you're going to write about?
I really do, yeah. And the luxury standards thing kind of amused me, because once upon a time, that's what we used to call cars. There were the intermediates, the luxury standards, the premium standards. Very strange naming strategies.
Yeah.
Those were the segments 40 years ago.
Okay. 815 area code says, I have a 2015 VW Passat TDI SE. Would you suggest the sell back or get it fixed?
Oh, I would sell it back. Yeah, I'm speaking from experience here. I have a Jetta that I'm just going to let Volkswagen take back. It's just easier that way. You can start fresh on a new car.
Is that usually the advice that you have?
Yeah, I think that if you've got a diesel and they want to take it back, I would just let them take it back. I think you're going to have a hard time selling that car down the road.
Okay. 630 area code says, is there any truth to the rumor that Fiat is going to stop making Dodge Ram series in 2020?
No, not the Dodge Ram. That makes money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation about what FCA, that's Fiat Chrysler, might kill or not kill in the next few years, but Ram pickups are not one of them.
Okay. All right, and let's talk a little bit, before we let you go, what were some of your sporty compacts of 1970 that you enjoyed writing about?
Yeah, this was the sporty compacts was a very funny and very generic way to describe what we used more favorably usually call pony cars.
Yeah.
So that was the Camaro, that was the Mustang, that was the Firebird, that was the Challenger, and for a while the Mercury Cougar wasn't a big bloated personal luxury car. It actually was a small sporty car, and that was included in this field too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love going back and looking at some of the stuff that you write about in the sporty compacts of nine, and I really like looking at the base price.
Yes.
For the 1970 AMC AMX, $33.95 was the base price.
Yeah, I think everything on that list is between 29 and 35, which is it doesn't even make sense.
I know. It's crazy. And I remember when I was younger and I would watch, Price is Right on a regular basis. I specifically remember when the first digit in the price of a car went from 1 to 2. instead of, you know what I mean? I remember
four-digit prices.
Yo, I know. Me too. That's what I do. And everything, it was always like, it was always around $5,000. When I watched Prices Right on a regular basis, the cars were always around $5,000.
Yeah, I seem to recall there was a Chevy Cavalier that was $48.88. It might have been $58.88, but that car ended up on that show a couple of times.
Yeah, that's just great. I love, you know, because you can watch some of the old game shows, man. I'll tell you, Let's Make a Deal had like the coolest cars.
That's true.
They gave away the coolest cars on Let's Make a Deal. Of course, you had to dress like an idiot and make a fool out of yourself. But yeah, so what do you for the Daily Drive blog? Any subjects that you're working on? Any stuff that you're going to be working on?
Wow, you know, one I want to do. I did it before, and I want to do it again. I was comparing the size of the BMW, the current 3 Series, versus that same car 25 years ago. And I had done this piece before, but now it's even crazier. Cars have gotten so much bigger, so much larger, and so much higher content in the last 15, 20 years that they don't resemble the cars they once were. The 3 Series, which was the compact, is now the size of what was the 5 Series. It's actually a little bit bigger. And I think we're losing sight of that. It's just cars have gotten so big and so heavy, and that's part of what's driving prices up, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody will keep an eye on it, consumerguide.com, and follow you on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure. Have a great month, and we'll talk to you next time, okay?
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Tom Appel, always a great guest, and he'll be back in October to talk more. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up, and then we're going to have some filmmakers live in studio.